You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Coming your way from our studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, it is a Gym Class here for a Tuesday on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes from his porch in the back, southwest side, and Buttons on the other side of the glass. Good show coming up for you. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, will join us. We'll preview next week's United States Open at Torrey Pines. Also, we will take a look back at the memorial, the John Rahm situation, and more. And Carson Shockey, former Iowa Hawkeye, will tee it up in the U.S. Open. And the most democratic of all the major championships. We will talk about that and more with Bob Herrig coming up in just a little bit. Maybe a little bit of high school news, some college playoff news as far as football may be on the horizon. We'll kick that around today as well. 319-366-1600. That is a text line that is always available to you. Phone line, same number, 319-366-1600. As we come your way on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, as well as 106.3 FM in the Iowa City, Coralville, and surrounding areas, as well as your KGYM mobile app, please download it if you have not done so already. It's very handy to have, and then your smart speaker as well. The ways to listen to us here on the Gym Class program. And Mark, good afternoon. How are you today?
Doing well, Scott. Everyone else is as well, and it's always a good day when one of our listeners can win something, right?
Indeed, and one of our listeners can win something today. We've got a Freedom Festival prize pack to give away. It's our second one of the week today. It includes four buttons and not four of our buttons. You can't make yourself four different individuals. If you could, that would be awesome. It would be cool, but you can't do it. Four buttons and two T-shirts. And a chance to be automatically entered to win a $500 Hy-Vee gift card. More information if you want to read up on it. We invite you to go to our website. That is kgymradio.com. And we'll have your chance to win that before 4 o'clock here today and the rest of the week today. As well. Twins baseball coming up tonight. Twins and their nemesis, Mark, the New York Yankees from Target Field. In downtown Minneapolis, 6:30 is the pregame, just past 7 o'clock with the first pitch tonight from downtown Minneapolis, as we mentioned. And we know the legacy over the last handful of years between the Twins and the Yankees. It has been one-sided, and it has not gone in the favor of the Twins.
Not at all, especially in the playoffs, and we've seen it multiple times. But the Yankees are reeling right now. Maybe a good time to get them. Not that the Twins are playing great baseball by any means, but Yankees coming off a series sweep against losing sweep against the Boston Red Sox. And right now the Yankees looking up on three other teams in the East, still with a winning record, but 6.5 games behind Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's not over, certainly. And the East is really tough. The American League East and the National League West, I think, are the two toughest divisions out there. But, Yankees are – we'll see. We'll see. I hope they don't get well against the Twins, but it's happened before, right?
Almost every time they match up, that's for sure.
319-366-1600 as we come your way here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class program right here on KGYM. Bob Herrig is going to join us, as we mentioned, coming up in about 20 minutes. Plenty to talk about with Bob. He's got a very good article. Encourage you to read at ESPN.com/golf. Wins the memorial. Patrick Cantlay wins the memorial with an invisible asterisk. Or asterisk, as you say, Mark. I'm sorry. Don't get the red pen out.
You're catching on.
I get it. But anyway, to close the story on golf's longest day yesterday, some big names making it, some big names not making the field for the U.S. Open, and then one near and dear to our hearts that we're going to effort to get on the program later on this week, and that is former Hawkeye Carson Shockey, who won the Springfield, Ohio qualifier and got into the United States Open. How about that?
Yeah, he was brilliant. 9 under par for 36 holes, including a 63 bogey-free round in his second round. And as you mentioned, won that qualifier by a couple strokes and heading to the U.S. Open. And also, former Iowa State golfer Chris Baker qualified out of a regional as well. So there's some state of Iowa flavor in this tournament, plus Zach Johnson next week. But Shockey was just remarkable. And field of 77 players for seven spots, and Shockey left no doubt.
He was one of the top Golf Digest put out top five stories. I believe it was five. Might have been seven. Anyway, top five/seven stories from golf's longest day, and Carson Shockey was right there in the middle of it, saying a guy that graduated. We won't take exception to the fact he did. He called it non-powerhouse golf school, Iowa. They've been to the regionals quite a few years in a row. But anyway.
Yeah, but they're not Oklahoma State.
They're not Oklahoma State. They're not Stanford. They're not Pepperdine. We get it. We get the situation. But at any rate, it was a great story, and hopefully it doesn't end there. And Carson and Zach and Chris Baker, the former Cyclone, can all make some noise at Torrey Pines coming up next week at the U.S. Open, which gets started in 9 days. 319-366-1600 at 11 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. We'll talk more golf coming up here in just a little bit. A couple stories out there today. Nationally, probably the one that has gotten the most push today actually came out last night, and I never know how to pronounce the gentleman's name. He's very good at what he does for Yahoo Sports. Pete Thamel, whatever. Very good writer as far as college football is concerned. Came out kind of late last night with a leak that perhaps the college football playoffs are going to be expanded. We all knew that was coming. Four is not going to stick around very long, but he's almost throwing out that a lot of people in the know are saying 12 teams, perhaps, just jumping over eight, leapfrogging, going from 4 to 8 and going from 4 to 12, which, of course, got everybody in the Twitterverse going crazy last night. What's that going to mean to the regular season? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know, games are not going to mean anything now in the regular season. You can play, two or three very difficult teams and still make it. What are we doing to this? And then, of course, people on the other side of the coin saying, yeah, it works pretty well for college basketball. Why not try it for football? I don't know. Personally, I think I'd probably rather see it go from 4 to 8. But let's face it, there's a lot more cash and a lot more money involved when you go from 4 to 12. Nothing has happened yet, but I think it's a foregone conclusion, Mark, that we're going to see an expanded college football playoff sooner than later.
Yeah, in terms of comparing it to basketball, they're two different sports. I mean, not that each one isn't grueling, but if you talk about expanding the playoffs to 12 teams, that will mean that the teams in the championship game will be playing probably their 17th game of the season, and that's a lot. For a football team, given a chance to win a national championship, I'm sure the players and coaches wouldn't care a whole lot. I'm not down with 12 teams whatsoever, and I'm not sure I'm down with 8 teams, because if you look at it, how many teams year in and year out above 4 deserve to be in the playoffs? I mean, very rarely. You've got your occasional stories like Boise State and others. I mean, this is a move to get a bid for each of the Power Five conferences other schools like the Boise States and whatnot, whether they deserve it or not. I mean, I would argue that very very rarely is there more than four teams deserving of being in the college football playoffs, and at most, maybe six.
What do you think? 319-366-1600. Are you for 8? Are you for 12? And this is being pushed by, you know, the Power 5 ADs. There's no doubt about that. Headed up, I think, especially by the SEC. That is what a group of five AD, a Power 5 AD, told CBS Sports. Reading this from CBSSports.com here and passing it along from the Yahoo Sports first reported article. But, you know, take for the SEC, for example, if you go for 12, you've got basically two or three guaranteed. You could get a fourth team. Do you really want a chance for the fourth place team in your conference to win a college football championship? I think you're right, Mark. I think it's apples and oranges when you compare college basketball to college football. A lot of times you can see a team that finished fourth in the regular season in their conference come away with a national championship. It has happened before. But football is a different animal, obviously. And like you said, we can't have, you know, for many years we couldn't have a playoff, and now you're talking about the possibility of playing 16 or 17 games for college athletes. Is that too many? I mean, there are a lot of different layers as far as this onion is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, to your question, if the fourth place team is one of the best 12 in the country, sure, bring them in. They might have lost a couple one-point games to the, you know, maybe the first and second-ranked teams in the country. You know, I just hope it doesn't come to 12. It's too many, I'm sure. Money will play a large part of it. But apparently some decisions are going to be made fairly soon, or at least the discussion is going to be had.
Yeah, because this thing is going to come to a head very, very quickly. In fact, these talks are moving faster than most people thought they would. In fact, one athletic director told CBS Sports, quote, "Expansion is coming, and it may be as soon as this summer. It might even be more than 8 teams," unquote. So it's going to happen. 12 teams, you would have the first, you'd have the top four getting byes. And then you'd have the bottom 8 playing, I would imagine. You get 4 out of that, match them up with 4 that got the byes. You got 8, you get down to 4, you get down to 2, and away you go. I would imagine that would be what it would look like anyway.
You remember who was head of the college football playoff selection committee last year, right? And may still be this coming year, I don't know.
Oh, who was that?
It's Iowa's Gary Barta.
Yes. 319-366-1600. As we come your way here, talking college football, 5731 on the text line. 12 basically takes away from the fun of bowl season. 8 to 10 teams is just about perfect in college. Odds of a number 12 seed beating a number 1, not very likely. Even if they met, yeah, not very likely. And who knows, it might even be a rematch. You could see a lot of rematches down the line, I would imagine. Let's face it, bowl season is basically all but gone anyway, aside from a certain number of bowls. And we have this discussion, I think, every December when it rolls around, Mark. But really, how many bowls are significant now because of the fact that you have the the college football playoff, and then you've got the group, what do they call it, the group of 6 or something like that, that Iowa State was in last year. Those are significant still, and there are a couple of independent ones that are significant, but let's face it, if I asked you who played in the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl last year, Mark, could you tell me right off the top of your head?
not in the least, but I love bowl games. I love it when we have a bowl game every day of the week. I don't care what it's called, who the sponsor is. I love bowls, but like many things in life, they are not what they used to be. It's the Big Ten and Pac 10 or 12 or 8 or whatever it may be is no longer or very rarely going to play in the Rose Bowl, and on and on and on. But a 12-team college football playoffs certainly would impact the bowls.
Yeah. 96-63 on the text line. I am saying they should never go below the top 10 in the rankings. And who knows? I mean, the rankings will play a part of it, obviously, but you got the committee with Gary Barta at the committee chair last year, at least what you talked about. There are many factors that go into it. Many, many different factors that go into it. And let's face it, when you get 12, if it goes to 12, even if it goes to 8, that ninth place team is going to do their best to show why they should be in there. And even if you go to 13, heck, if you go to 16, the 17th place team is going to cry that they didn't get the fair shake and they should be ahead of the 16 and they could beat the 1.
No matter what the number is, there's always going to be the number 5 team or the number 9 team or the number 13 team who's going to pose an argument as to why it didn't get in. It's going to happen no matter how many teams you have in the playoffs.
No doubt. No doubt. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com going to join us coming up tomorrow. We'll talk fantasy baseball. If you have an early fantasy football question, Chris can field that as well coming up on the Wednesday edition of the program. But still a lot to get to today. Bob Herrig will join us. We're going to have an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard, which will include the results from the girls' state soccer tournament, which is underway at a steamy county park in Des Moines today. And I don't think the girls are taking days off, right? They're going successive days. Is that true? I probably should look before I open my mouth, but I think they're going successive days anyway. But
girls are tougher anyway. At least that's what my daughter is doing.
Hey, and who's to doubt her, right?
Exactly.
Who's to doubt her? But yeah, they got started today, so we'll have that. And then also the Division III World Series wrapping up at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Mark will let us know how that came out today as well. As we talk some college football with you here on the Gym Class on KGYM, 319-366-1600. Great to hear from Troy. And I was playing golf Saturday. Sorry, I could not get there, but glad you are. Everything went well. And has leftovers from that too. From the 641 area code, 5037. Wonder if they go to 15-16 games, if that means NIL will be here sooner than later. Yeah, you got to throw that in there. Name, image, and likeness on how that will play as far as college football is concerned. 15 or 16 games would be, that's way too many, isn't it?
I think it is, but once again, if they go to 12 teams, those teams in the championship game are going to be playing probably their 17th game of the season.
Yeah. 0835, never going to end the conversation of this team should have gotten in over another, but a huge fan of the playoff expansion. Rather see these playoff games over some of these bowl games around. Always could see the upset. The 12th rated could easily be in the top five, give a loss or two. That was kind of what you were saying, Mark, your point that, one-point loss here, one-point loss there. But then on the other side of the coin, you have the contingency of just win the game and not lose by 1 point and get in. So I guess it's how you look at it, your perspective.
It is. 5731 has a perspective on the text line. 12 teams basically takes away from the fun of bowl season. 8 to 10 teams is just about perfect in college. Odds of a number 12 seed beating a number 1, not very likely.
Yeah. And Matt and Fairfax had a great time at the D3 World Series today. Met a couple real nice guys from Maryland. Were they Terp fans, Matt? That we got to ask that. Were they fans? Did they say Fear the Turtle or anything like that?
They were Salisbury fans.
Salisbury, not the stakes. Not the stakes. We're going to talk to Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, in about 5 minutes. Also, I want to get to today a little bit about, and we talked about this when it first broke, when the CIML did say they were going to break up in a couple of years on how the trickle effect is going to go down, and we could see something from that trickle effect coming up momentarily. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out as far as Eastern Iowa in high school sports is concerned. 319-366-1600. Let's go ahead and let's get to our Emil's Hideaway scoreboard here. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They are located right across from the Lindale Mall, right behind Taco John's on First Avenue Southeast. To stop by, say hi, have a great meal with friends. Say hi to Jamie and Chris and Dave and everybody out there at Emil's. Great friends of ours and great supporters of us right here on KGYM. And a few things to talk about on the scoreboard on this Tuesday.
Yes, indeed. You mentioned the Division III World Series being contested out of Veterans Memorial Stadium, and it has wrapped up. Matt and Fairfax probably met some Salisbury University fans. The Seagulls out of the state of Maryland won the Division III championship, defeating St. Thomas out of Minnesota 4-2 this afternoon. That wrapped up a best of three series. So congratulations to all the teams that made it. Of course, Cedar Rapids Colonels away from home for a couple weeks. They will return back to town a week from today. The Girls State Soccer Tournament being contested in Des Moines. Rivals Cedar Rapids Xavier and Waverly Shell Rock collided in the first round. After a 0-0 regulation, a goal by Kinsey Rowling about 3 minutes into overtime gave Waverly Shell Rock a 1-0 victory. Rowling, by the way, is an Iowa recruit and scored 58 goals this season. That's a lot of balls in the net.
That's good. I don't have to be a soccer expert to tell you that's good.
Not at all. No scores to report in Major League Baseball. All the action under the lights. Twins and Yankees pregame at 6:30 on 107.5.
Yep, the Jim OT. And, yeah, too bad. I mean, that's just the way that the rankings came out, that Xavier and Waverly Shell Rock had to play in the first round. That was the state championship game 2 years ago, the last time they had a girls' state soccer tournament. Of course, the spring sports were postponed last year due to the pandemic. But Xavier won that one in 2019, and Waverly Shell Rock wins this one in 2021 in the quarterfinals. So they will move on. They will take on Spencer. Waverly Shell Rock will take on Spencer, and Norwalk and Dallas Center and Grimes will two fast population rising suburbs of Des Moines will go at it in the other semifinal. Both of those schools will be 3A. They are already in the bigger class in most of the sports this year, but they will be probably staying there for perpetuity coming up in the next couple of years. And we'll talk a little bit about some changes as far as the high school landscape is concerned. They could be on the way, and we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. But we're going to talk to senior golf writer for ESPN.com, Bob Herrig. We're going to do that when we return. We'll talk about the United States Open. We'll talk about the tough situation at the Memorial from this last week. And talk about Carson Shockey and getting the former Hawkeye getting into the U.S. Open. All that and more coming up. Gym class for a Tuesday coming your way. We also have your opportunity to pick up the Freedom Festival prize pack, and we'll do that before 4 o'clock. So stick with us. More to come after this right here on KGYM.
There's never been a better time to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Right now, new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 moneyline wager on any NBA playoff game. If either team hits a three-pointer in the game, you'll win $100 regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code HANSON100, HANSON100, when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Get ready to turn the playoffs into payoffs. Sign up now and discover BetMGM's parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSON100, Hanson with an O, to win $100 in free bets if either team hits a three in any NBA playoff game. It's always showtime at BetMGM. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlic Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlic helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and garlic is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlic Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Heading to the Solid Waste Agency on a Saturday? You need an appointment. Just make one at solidwasteagency.org. Saturday appointments help keep the lines down and traffic moving at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. So if you want to drop off recycling or garbage at the landfill or resource recycling building on a Saturday, you need an appointment. If that's not your thing, stop by during the week, because no appointment is needed Monday through Friday. Get details at solidwasteagency.org. Stay safe out there.
Open up to outdoor living. If you're adding on or redoing a deck, take it up a notch with stylish patio doors. Alexander Lumber has an excellent selection, from elegant French doors to contemporary bifold and multifold doors in an array of colors and materials. Select from high-end, architect-preferred brands like Colby and others. Complement your home and your outdoor vibe with patio doors from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
It is 3:31. We are back with you on the Gym Class here on KGYM. We have your chance to win that Freedom Festival prize pack we are giving away today. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit, before 4 o'clock, as a matter of fact. Twins baseball coming up tonight as the Minnesota Twins taking on the New York Yankees at Target Field. 6:30 with the pregame and just past 7 o'clock with the first pitch coming up this evening right here on KGYM. Coming up next week is the United States Open from one of the great venues, Torrey Pines Public Golf Course, right outside San Diego in La Jolla, the annual host of the Farmers Insurance Open. And like I said, just a great, great venue, and the world will have its eyes upon that terrific course. And to preview that and talk everything golf, our friend Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, joining us here on a warm, sultry Tuesday in eastern Iowa. And Bob, thanks for taking the time. Always appreciate talking golf with you.
Glad to hear it's nice and warm in Iowa. Good for you.
I don't know where to start. If we should start with next week, or let's go back to the weekend. I think we got to go back to the weekend, though. That's the big story, and the unfortunate circumstances surrounding what happened with Jon Rahm. And I know you wrote a nice piece about it at ESPN.com, and it's too bad that it ended up this way. It was too bad. I think Mark and I both agree the way Jon was informed, but it just reminds us that we're not completely out of the shadow of the pandemic yet.
Yeah, there's a lot to unwrap with that whole thing. You know, I think you hit it on the head at first. It's just really a shame. You know, it's I think it hits harder because generally we feel like we're so close to the end of this. You know, that was a golf tournament with a pretty full house of spectators. The restrictions in Ohio have been relaxed. You know, you're not seeing any mask wearing outside except in very, very rare cases. Really not a lot inside. And, you know, we're moving on because of the vaccines and less cases and that sort of thing. So that sort of outcome, I think, was more so something we would have been okay with several months ago, 6 months ago even, when, you know, there was no vaccine. We were trying to live with this, avoid people, all those things, and obviously people still got COVID. To have it happen that way, and then, you know, to have tested 5 days in a row negative and then to come up positive, you know, I think it's a sign again, too, like the incubation period, it can be lengthy. It's a reminder of that. And, you know, clearly John had not been vaccinated. And, you know, he would have avoided all of that testing and contact tracing program had he been fully vaccinated. So there's so much there. Then throw in he's leading the tournament, playing great, no symptoms. And you have a lot to unwrap, and but I think the bottom line is it's just really a shame because it kind of marred the tournament, you know. And I think that was their biggest fear, and they made it a year into it before that happened.
Bob, there's some out there, including some of Rahm's colleagues on the tour, that believe the PGA Tour should have revisited their rules and sent Rahm out by himself. Especially since he was and is asymptomatic. PGA stuck by its rules, but should it have?
Yeah, that's a tough one, too. I mean, I think they did the right thing because you can't just change the rules because the guy's leading or it's prominent.
Right.
This happened three other times to players who were in the competition and were found to be positive with COVID, and they got pulled out, no questions asked. You know, the rules were if you test positive, you're done. And the only way around it would have been, say, had he tested positive on Monday with no symptoms, he would have been allowed to take a test each of the next 2 days, 24 hours apart, and if they came up negative, he could have still played while he would have isolated while waiting. And you know, obviously he was asymptomatic, but given the time frame, that was impossible. You know, he could have tested negative on Sunday morning, but he would have needed to test negative again on Monday morning. So, you know, it's funny how, you know, in golf, there are some strange rules within the game, and you can't look at the extenuating circumstances. You just have to apply them. And I think they did what they had to do in this case. There, if they would have let him play, there would have been a different sort of howling. Well, how can you let him play when he's contagious? I mean, even though he's outside, even though he's asymptomatic, and we believe that there's no or little chance of spread in those circumstances, that's not a good look either, you know? So again, it's just a really, really, I get every side of this that people have, you know, why not just let him play by himself? You know, look, even playing with other people, he was very unlikely to come in contact with anyone, not for the allotted time that you're deemed to be, possibly infecting someone. I mean, you have to be near someone more than a minute, you know, and in golf, you're pretty much constantly moving. You're not standing stationary for 15 minutes at a time within 6 feet of someone. So I get why people think that way. But, you know, I just think they had to follow their rules. And again, I think it just makes it worse that we're so close.
Yeah, and it worse that it happened in one of the top events and one hosted by Jack Nicklaus. So that didn't help much either. But before we leave the Rahm situation here, of course, now he's isolated until a week from today, U.S. Open week. He'll have to, if he passes all the protocols, et cetera, he'll come in late. But it's even more intriguing because obviously he's won at Torrey Pines. He's going to be one of the favorites going in. Going to be one of the heavy favorites going in. If he gets to play, will still be one of the heavy favorites. And a lot of layers to this thing if John Rahm tees it up next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to note that you know, there's a chance that he could get out of this quarantine much sooner than next week. You know, it's for the reasons I was just laying out. It's for the testing. You know, I don't know the situation, what his situation is right now, where he is, or but you would guess that he's going to test every day and hope that he gets 2 days in a row, 24 hours apart, where he's negative, because then he'll be allowed to leave. And so that, let's say that happened tomorrow. Say it happened today and tomorrow. He gets home Wednesday. He can get back to preparing for the U.S. Open. No big deal. If he has to wait until next Tuesday, which I would think means Tuesday morning, because he would have tested it, the 10 days would have been Saturday morning to Tuesday morning. You know, he could get out of there, get home, or get to, you know, he could have somebody meet him at Torrey Pines. And maybe even get in 9 holes on Tuesday afternoon. Obviously, though, he won't have been swinging a club. He won't have been working on his game. So I do think that part of it is important. You know, can he get out of this quarantine by the weekend? You know, that to me makes a big difference. Even without that, I'm not sure I'd count him out. You know, he's been in pretty good form. We're assuming he's healthy. He's not sick or feeling any ill effects from this. You know, there's the possibility that he's able to at least work out and do things like that wherever he is, indoors. You know, I still, you know, he's won at Torrey Pines. In fact, it was his first tour event in 2017. So I don't think it's out of the question that he could contend.
Bob, yesterday was what's known as the longest day in golf. As you know, the U.S. Open qualifiers. We had a great story develop here in Iowa with former Hawkeye Carson Shockey winning the Springfield sectional. I mean, the qualifier. Every year, there's some terrific stories, good and bad, that come out of these qualifiers. Ricky Fowler had to go back out this morning and try to qualify. As you know, missed by one shot. But this is a treasure trove of stories for guys like you, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly can be. I mean, there's usually a couple of interesting tales that we learn about coming out of these. And I think that's one of the unique things about the U.S. Open. You know, you contrast this with the PGA Championship last month, which is all pros. Basically, you know, obviously there's 20 club pros, but you take them out and you've got 136 touring pros, basically. You know, it's you are in there as at least one of the top 100 players in the world. You've won a major in the last 5 years. You've won a tour event in the last 12 months. And then the PGA uses its exemption based on world rankings. You know, that's far different than having, you know, there's probably going to be 20 to 30 players in the U.S. Open who might have never played in any tour event before. You know, they caught lightning in a bottle and they've qualified. And that, you know, that's a unique aspect of it. And sometimes there's a couple of those guys who shine and you know, get their name on the leaderboard for a while. It's pretty rare that someone wins even coming out. It used to be called the sectionals. Now it's called final qualifying. But it happens. I mean, Lucas Glover won the U.S. Open in 2009. He had to go through final qualifying. Michael Campbell in 2005. If you go back over time, I believe Orville Moody in 1969 went through both local and sectional to get in the U.S. Open and then won it. So there are those storybook tales. Of course, you know, we're talking about guys who were established tour pros. You know, probably the greatest story of all of those is Jack Fleck beating Ben Hogan, you know, way back in 1955, I believe it was, at the Olympic Club. And Fleck was a club pro from Iowa who had to qualify just to get in. And really, you know, he played some tour golf, but wasn't, you know, a highly regarded touring pro at the time and won the U.S. Open. So, you know, I think that's a neat aspect of it. And it's kind of a shame, actually. The British Open has had a qualifying aspect also that they've kind of gone away from. You know, they've made an effort to make their field stronger by allowing guys to qualify through good play and tour events. So the U.S. Open becomes even more unique in that regard.
Yeah. Bob Herrick joining us, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, coming up on 3:45 here in the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. The last time the U.S. Open visited Torrey Pines was the fantastic Tiger Woods Rocco Mediate showdown back in 2008. I don't know what Torrey can do for an encore, but it is a very tough golf course. What are you expecting as far as scores? It's different, obviously, in June than it is in February when they play the Farmers Insurance Open there. But how's that going to make the course different, and will it bring some new people into play as far as possible champions?
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to see a big difference. I mean, when Patrick Reed won earlier this year, I believe he was 14 under par. And now they do play. They played as a par 72 for the Farmers. It's played as a par 71 for the U.S. Open. They take the, I believe it's the sixth hole that's a par five, for the Farmers, and they make it into a par four. So it becomes a par 71. So that obviously, you know, that sort of takes away one per day in terms of, you know, in relation to par. But still, when Tiger won and Rocco played off, they were one under, the only players under par. Even if you add in that par five, that makes it five under. And, you know, as I said, Reed won at 14 under. So, you know, a tour event's not going to be set up quite as penal, but I think it has more to do with the weather, the time of year. In January, the course is soft. I mean, it's typically chilly in the morning. There's dew. It's wet. You know, so while the course plays long, it's also easier to hold fairways and greens. This time of year, you know, frankly, it's amazing to me that they don't go out west more often for these tournaments, because there's virtually no chance or no big chance of interruptions due to thunderstorms and rain. I mean, they just don't have very much. It gets dry. The temperature's in the 70s. It's really nice. And that allows them to get the course firm and fast. And you'd think that the greens will be pretty fast, pretty hard to hold. The rough will still be high. And it's, you know, obviously the ball is going to roll farther, but that also means it rolls off fairways easier too. So it rolls into that stuff. So it naturally becomes more difficult. Now, you know, I think who does that suit? I think as we've seen at various U.S. Opens over the years, it's not always the longest hitters, although Bryson won the last one, Bryson DeChambeau. It can be won by a plodding player who keeps it in play. Obviously, good short game and putting really helps. You know, I think their thing, the USGA's thing, is to have it be all of those aspects are good. You know, that's what they typically talk about. You know, it's not just a driving and wedge game. It's not just a putting game. It's all of it. You know, there's going to be some long holes where you better drive it out there. There's other holes where you need to get it in play. You better be able to be good around the greens, because you're just not going to hit all of them. So, you know, I think we have to see again. But, you know, last year, you know, DeChambeau was won by six and was the only player under par. You know, typically there's only a handful of guys under par, and I'm guessing we're in for that again.
Bob, last for me, I wanted to ask you about what's being floated as the premier golf league to debut perhaps in 2023. A lot of money, I guess, is being waved at players. What has been the reaction to this idea, the reaction by the PGA Tour and its players?
Well, I don't think the PGA Tour is too happy about it. That's a direct threat to them. 18 events is a lot of tournaments, and if you're required to play 18 tournaments, it's going to make it hard for you to play on the PGA Tour. And you know, it's 18 tournaments in addition to the majors. So the problem is, and the thing that's not addressed very much is, if you want to play on the PGA Tour, in order to play anywhere else, you need to get a release to play an event the same week as a PGA Tour event. And that's because the tour controls a player's TV and media rights. It's a very shrewd thing they did set up to become a member to protect themselves. And the example I use a lot to try to explain that better is, if they didn't do that, Tiger and Phil could 10 times a year go out and play an exhibition for $10 million and really hurt the PGA Tour. But because they have signed over their rights to the tour has to sign off on it. And that's why, you know, these matches that are taking place, like, you know, the one that Phil and Tiger had in Vegas, and now this one that's going to come up with Phil and DeChambeau and Brady and Aaron Rodgers, you know, the tour has to allow that. The tour also gets paid. They get a cut of it, too. And so, well, they're clearly not going to allow guys to play 18 times. So then what? Do you then give up your PGA Tour membership? How do you get in the majors? Are they going to allow world ranking points? The world ranking board is basically formed by people that include the PGA Tour. You know, so these questions have not been answered, and they're huge. The money sounds great. Surely there could be guys that'll break free and just say they'll do it. But do they want to give up the PGA Tour? Do they want to give up playing in majors possibly? I'm not sure the majors are going to ban them, but they need access. You know, and the majors don't want to be missing some of the top players. So how do they address it? I mean, I think there's just so many things there that haven't been answered. You know, money is a lot and is a big lure, but you know, they've got to get to the bottom of some of these things, I think, before there's a sense that this could really happen.
Yeah. Before we let you go here, Bob, our Cedar Rapids golfer, Zach Johnson, of course, he is in the U.S. Open due to finishing in the top 10 last year. Not, and this is a question as well from our text line, not sure if he's out of, this might be his last year if he does not finish in the top 10 or just win it flat out anyway. But I'd have to double check that anyway, but we'll see how he goes out there and plays. Zach has always had the same, it's kind of been the same situation this year as of last. Three, can put together three good rounds, but that fourth one has eluded him and causes him some problems. And hopefully he'll turn it around next week.
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it. You know, he's actually played pretty decently and then kind of slips. You know, and it might be on Saturday, or he might shoot a good round on Thursday and then fall off on Friday. He's barely making the cut. You know, it's just sort of middling results, you know, and I keep waiting for him to break through. You know, he's up there now and again. It's not like he's just off the map, but he's certainly not in the mix very often either. So, you know, Zach's a great example of the type of player I was talking about earlier about the U.S. Open, where, you know, this doesn't always require length. You know, if you can put the ball in play and be proficient around the green, you know, anybody can win. So I got to believe he feels pretty good about it. But, you know, the other side of it is there just have not been the high results there to give him a lot of confidence.
True. Bob, always appreciate it. Always good talking with you and catching up. And enjoy Southern California. It'll be a fun U.S. Open, we know.
Thanks a lot, guys. Be well.
All right. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, ESPN.com, kind enough to join us here. 3:54, we need to take a break. As we go to break, going to give you an opportunity to pick up our Freedom Festival prize pack for today. Caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. You will pick that up. Of course, the Freedom Festival and the official countdown of the 4th of July is underway with tons of specialty events and family-friendly activities around the corridor. And get your button soon. And more information available at kgymradio.com. Caller 6-319-366-1600. You will pick up a Freedom Festival prize pack. We'll let you know who our winner is and wrap things up after this.
From the gridiron to the nine iron, experience the thrill of the game anywhere in Iowa with Elite Sportsbook. You can now sign up for Elite Sportsbook on your phone anywhere in Iowa and receive your first bet risk-free, up to $500. Just visit EliteSportsbook.com to create an account, and your first bet is on us, up to $500. It's time to play your game with Elite Sportsbook. For a limited time only, valid only in Iowa. Must be 21. Visit EliteSportsbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
He will score! And the Twins win it! A remarkable rally!
What makes a winner? Around here, it's hard work, never backing down, and finding strength in every obstacle. That's what we do, every day, and at every game. The Minnesota Twins are back at Target Field. Don't miss a pitch, hit, or run this 2021 season. Find the action at twinsbaseball.com/tickets. Limited seats available.
Back with you in the gym class, Matt from Cedar Rapids, our winner of the Freedom Festival prize pack. Our thanks to Bob Herrig for joining us. Tomorrow, it will be our friend Chrysalis of rotowire.com. If you have a fantasy baseball question, early fantasy football question, Chris will be on hand tomorrow to help you out with that. Coach O'Brien saying that Allen and Hotchkiss finishing up runner-up today in the state co-ed. That being played, I believe, at Marshalltown today. So congratulations to them. Some high school news before we let you go, Mark. It sounds like in the next couple of days we are going to know if Waterloo East is going to remain a member of the Mississippi Valley Conference or if they are going to break off along with the Des Moines Metro Schools, what, Mason City, Ottumwa, Marshalltown, and Fort Dodge, and form the new 4A conference in the state of Iowa. Sounds that way from Mark Woodley up at Channel 7.
Yeah, there's an information meeting tonight at Waterloo East, and could come to a vote by the school board as early as next Monday. I think it's a subject that's really interesting to folks in the quarter because of the high schools that are in the Mississippi Valley Conference along with Waterloo East. Probably deserves more than a couple minutes, and maybe we'll see if there's any news tonight out of Waterloo East.
Yeah, we can talk about it tomorrow. This does not affect Waterloo West, apparently. It is not a package deal, according to Mark Woodley of Channel 7, that East and West are on their own as far as deciding what conference. I think that would be strange, though, to have your two schools in an urban area in different conferences. But we'll see how it all plays out. But it would also bring about some scheduling nightmares for the folks in the Mississippi Valley Conference to go to 15 teams. Not sure how they're going to do it, but we'll see what happens first with East if they elect to remain in the Mississippi Valley Conference or break away and go to the brand new conference that is going to be formed, not next year, starting next year, but in 22-23 for play. All right, Twins and the Yankees coming your way tonight. Right here on KGYM on the Jim OT 107.5 FM. That will get underway at 6:30, just past 7 o'clock with the first pitch as far as that one is concerned. So best of luck against the Yankees, Mark.
We're going to need every ounce of it, Scott. Appreciate that. And look forward to talking with Chris List tomorrow and other topics of the day. Yeah. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow. And thanks to Buttons. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is up next from 4 to 6 right here on KGYM. Have a great Tuesday night, everybody.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically.